Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on the high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to his people. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand as you're able as we read this morning's gospel reading, taken from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. The gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As I begin, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge and thank you for your presence in our midst. We'd ask now that your word would rule over us, your spirit would teach us, and that you being known and glorified would be our first and our only concern. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You should be seated, please. It's hard to avoid the conclusion that there is something drastically wrong with the world. What that wrong is and how it can be addressed has been a central question of human existence. Now, the Christian answer begins in the opening chapters of the Bible with the glorious picture of the world as God intended it, human beings given the vocation to reflect creation's praise, to establish God's good reign upon the earth, devastatingly decide to go their own way, to reject God's rule and love. What is wrong with the world? Well, according to the scriptural story, it begins right there with our alienation from God. And like ripples on a glassy pond, as a stone has broken the surface, the impact ripples out from there. God in love comes searching. Where are you? I was afraid and I hid, Adam responds. There is fear, anxiety, guilt, unease with ourselves at the very core of our beings. This alienation within ourselves ripples out to interpersonal and relational alienation. Adam and Eve discover that they're naked and ashamed. They can't be honest, transparent, vulnerable, open with one another. C.S. Lewis had a great illustration for this. He said, imagine for a moment that you have two cars traveling down the freeway. You're in one of them, and you have another car beside you. You're traveling 100 kilometers an hour, and you look over, and you notice that in the other car, the passenger has a knife and is attacking the driver. Well, you wouldn't say, well, that has nothing to do with me. That's their problem. It's in their car, not in mine. Of course not, right? You would know that if there's an internal problem in that car, it most definitely is going to impact you sooner or later as that driver perhaps swerves into your lane, causing you to crash. Because there's alienation within us, it ripples out to alienation with one another, between peoples, families, sexes, races, nations. It ripples further out, as Genesis points, even to our alienation from creation. Human beings created to enact God's good reign upon the earth now destroy, break, exploit, ravage. Yes, there's something drastically wrong with the world, particularly as we see in 2020 that's become a byword for calamity. And the Christian will say that it begins with our alienation from God rippling out to alienation within ourselves, with one another, and even with creation. Well then, what's the solution? Well, the book of Ephesians answers such a question. In the first three chapters, Paul opens his letter by glorying in God's eternal purposes in Jesus to put everything that is out of place in the world back into its proper place, to deal with alienation in all of its forms, bringing restoration to right relationship with God through adoption and grace, opening up a path for reconciliation between all peoples and establishing Jesus' healing reign over all things. And then in chapter 4, the text we'll be focusing on in this sermon series, Paul says, in light of God's eternal purposes in Jesus to put everything right in the world, I therefore, verse 1, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I think many of us over the course of our lives find ourselves wrestling with, agonizing over a central question. What's God's plan, God's purpose for my life? I suspect that's a question you've wrestled with. What's God's plan, purpose for my life? Well, here it is. Here's God's plan for our lives, and here's our calling, and it's not a personal calling. The you here is plural. This is a calling for the church, for all who are found in Christ by faith. And our calling is nothing less than living in step with the eternal purposes of God in Jesus to, by his grace and power, bear witness to his kingdom reign. For when things get under the reign of Jesus, they get healed. Alienation gets addressed. Now, as we began to explore this last week, we said that this portion of Ephesians is given over to revealing the gifts that God has given us generously in Jesus, that we might walk in balance, in equilibrium with the calling. And last week we looked, verse 3, at this gift of the unity of the Spirit. So let us, Paul says, be eager, give ourselves over completely to maintaining it. We have unity, but also, verse 7, we are given a diversity of gifts. To each one of us, Paul writes, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, he ascended on high, and he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to all. He gave gifts to all of us. All of us. Now, what's he saying here? Because it does get a little confusing with all the ascending and descending. Well, Paul is actually quoting from Psalm 68, which would have been a very vibrant illustration for his first listeners, but we do need a little bit of help to enter into it. You see, in the ancient world, when a people were being oppressed by their enemies, the king would leave his throne and descend to the battlefield. And if he was victorious and conquered their enemies, he would return to his city in triumphal procession, parading behind him the defeated army and the spoils of war. He would ascend his throne, sit down, and then bestow upon his people a portion of the spoil, gifts out of that spoil. Now, Paul is using this imagery here to refer to the work of Jesus, that King Jesus descended to take on our enemies, our oppressors, of sin, of death, of hell, of Satan, binding them captive upon the cross. He then ascended, sat down upon his throne, and now lavishes gifts upon his people. What kinds of gifts? Well, verse 7, out of the measure of Christ's gift, meaning out of the measure of Jesus' ministering abilities. And so it begs the question, what are Jesus' ministering abilities that he now gives to us, to his church? What did Jesus do here while on earth that he now gifts us for? Well, he taught, he preached, he revealed the character of God, he invited people to repent and enter the kingdom of heaven. He healed. He cast out demons. He broke the power of evil over people's lives. He loved. He comforted. He had compassion and mercy. He broke down barriers of classism, sexism, racism. He stood against systems of injustice. He was present with the lonely, offering gracious and generous hospitality to sinners, tax collectors. Paul is telling us that Jesus gifts to each one of us in him a portion of those ministering abilities. And Paul further defines these gifts in 1 Corinthians as manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. And there are 5 lists of spiritual gifts within the New Testament. And they tell us as we read them that there is no human need, physical, relational, spiritual, psychological, which does not have a gift to address it. And this is what Jesus pours out upon his church so that everyone in Christ has a portion of these gifts. Robert Clinton is a professor of leadership at Fuller Seminary in California, and he divides these gifts into 3 categories to help us better understand them and their purposes. Those categories are love gifts, word gifts, and power gifts. And over the course of this series, we're going to look at each of these categories in turn. Love gifts are those that make manifest the love of God in practical ways. They're gifts like administration, helps, mercy, hospitality, giving. Love gifts are those that make manifest the love of God in practical ways. Word gifts are those that clarify the nature, action, and purposes of God. They're gifts like teaching, encouragement, leadership, shepherding, evangelism. Word gifts are those that clarify the nature, action, and purposes of God. The power gifts are those that demonstrate the power, presence, and purposes of God. They're gifts like prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, intercession, faith, discernment of spirits, healing, words of knowledge, and wisdom. Power gifts are those that demonstrate the power, presence, and purposes of God. These are the groupings of gifts that Jesus lavishes upon us, his church. So what does that mean for us as church practically? Well, in seminary some 20 years ago, I attended the evening service at Little T. It's where my love for this community and my desire to see its gospel ministry flourish began. And I can remember, I think it was the first night that I came into this space. It was somewhere on a sign or in a print material. It gave the name of the rector, the associate minister, and then the next line read ministers. the entire congregation. That is exactly the application of this passage. There is not one of us who's not been given a gift of ministry so that we might build one another up in love. We might come to maturity in Christ. We might together walk in balance, in equilibrium with the calling. Now, these spiritual gifts are different from learned or natural abilities. They are gifts from God. So in that sense, we can say that all of these gifts are supernatural. And I think that bears repeating, because when we don't see this, it can become quite divisive in churches that see only the power gifts as supernatural. Yes, they can be grown and developed. Yes, you can learn better how to use all of these gifts, but they would not be yours if they hadn't been given to you. So in that sense, all of these gifts are supernatural. Okay, so how do I discover which gift I've been given, how to use it, toward what ends to use it? Well, Paul continues in verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherd teachers. There's no end in the Greek. Now, these are not gifts. These were offices, roles within the early church. Now, very briefly, the apostles were a select group, chosen. They'd seen the risen Jesus. They'd been given his authority to teach, such that when the early church sought to decide what letters would be contained in the canon of Scripture, one of the requirements was that it would be written by an apostle. This is why we have the book of Ephesians. Paul was an apostle. Next, we have the prophets. They were traveling preachers. They would move from place to place. They would take the apostles' teaching and they would apply it to people in situations with conviction and power. The evangelists were also traveling preachers. They were specifically gifted to bring the apostolic faith to people outside the Christian community. And then the office that would be most immediately recognizable to us would be the shepherd teacher. They stayed in one place, a pastor of a local congregation, if you will. They would take the apostolic teaching and apply it to a local community, to individuals within that community. We can see that all of these roles have to do with the apostolic teaching, the word of God. And the purpose of these roles, these offices, Paul says, is to equip the saints. Now, that word equip was used of a doctor in the ancient world that would set a bone, or an innkeeper who would turn over a room to get it ready for the next guest, or a fisherman who would be mending their net. Equipping had the general sense of putting something back into the condition that it should be in. And Paul is saying, in order to live in balance and equilibrium with the calling, Jesus has lavished upon us gifts. But to learn how to use those gifts and toward what ends to use those gifts, we need to be equipped to regularly sit under the apostolic teaching, be it in our reading, our individual, our corporate study, hearing the word of God expounded, so that we might be equipped, healed, restored, renewed, brought back into the condition we should be in, a renewed humanity reflecting the person of Jesus. But that's not an end in itself. Paul goes on to say we're equipped, verse 12, for works of service, for the work of ministry. About 10 years ago, a young man came to see me. His marriage was on the rocks. He yearned for hope, for healing in his life and in his marriage. And he remembered a time when his faith was a deep resource, and he longed for that to come again. And we began to meet and read the Bible together. And by his sitting under the apostolic faith, there was equipping, there was healing, renewing, being built up. And then all of a sudden, his growth came to a screeching halt, and he was frustrated, and I was at a loss. But then we clued in. He came to me to be equipped, to have God in Christ restore and renew him, but it was only for his sake. we're equipped for the sake of others, for the sake of ministry. He was an English professor at U of T, and he reshaped his curriculum to point his students toward the faith that inspired many of the authors and the works that they were studying, and his growth began again in earnest. We're equipped not for our sake only, we're equipped for the sake of others, for the works of ministry. Now, why would we be exploring this at such a time as this? Isn't this something that churches do when they need volunteers to fill roles for church programs? Discover your gifts. Sign up after the live stream. In this season of COVID, we aren't running the programs that we once did. So why are we considering the gifts that Jesus lavishes upon us? Well, actually, this might actually be the best time to explore it without the distraction of having programs running that need volunteer support. See, this series is all about uncovering the gifts that God has lavished upon us that we might be church. In spite of the absence or diminishment of the ways we've grown used to gather, to worship, to learn, to grow. Everywhere we look, we encounter the ramifications of humanity's rejection of God's rule and love. It ripples out in alienation within ourselves, with one another, with creation itself. But God has revealed in Jesus his eternal purposes to put everything that is out of place in the world back into its proper place, and has lavished upon his church gifts, gifts that enable us to bear witness in word and deed to those eternal purposes in Jesus. And I think one of the ways we can discern the gifts we've been given is by asking ourselves some penetrating questions. So first, which aspects of the brokenness of our world most break your heart, stir up your anger, leave you yearning for God's deliverance? Under that emotional response may be your gift. Second, where do you see that brokenness in closest proximity to yourself? Is it in your family, your work, your neighborhood, your city? The news media will reveal that brokenness half a world away, but what we do is unlikely to change that. But where do you see that brokenness at closest proximity to yourself? And thirdly, how is the Spirit stirring you up to use the gift you've been given to address that very thing? I urge you, therefore, in light of the eternal purposes of God in Jesus, being graciously granted a portion of Jesus' ministering abilities, being equipped by his word to walk in balance, in equilibrium with the calling to which you, to which we have been called. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that at this time we're being reminded of God's eternal purposes in Jesus, to put everything that's out of place in the world back in its proper place. May that animate our hope. May it rescue us from despair. Thank you for reminding us of our calling to bear witness in word and deed to your eternal purpose in Jesus. We thank you for bestowing upon your people the diversity of gifts out of Jesus' ministering abilities. May we be a community that is open to the diversity of those gifts. May we be a community where we are equipped to use those gifts that we might come to maturity in Christ, be built up in love, and walk in balance and equilibrium with the calling. To the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.